You're listening to the Makers and Mystics podcast. This is season 13, episode 12. Hospitality is more than generous treatment of guests or strangers, but it is a way of peeling back the layers of separation and getting us closer to the heart of a group or an individual. In other words, hospitality is the heartbeat of building community and true friendship. As a touring musician, and then later as I traveled to speak at different art communities, the hospitality of strangers to give me a place to stay for the night, to feed me, not only filled my stomach, but filled my spirit as well. Conversations around the table often lingered into the night, giving me a sense of place and belonging. Hospitality reoriented me in the world and fostered connections and created memories which long outlasted the occasion. The word hospitality comes from the Latin hospis, meaning host, guest, or stranger. And hospis is formed from hostis, meaning stranger or enemy. And it's where we get terms like hostile. So it seems that hospitality, or coming to a shared table, can be a place where strangers transform into friends and enemies can be rehumanized. My guest today is fellow podcaster, community builder, and co-founder of the First Things First Foundation, John Hears. John is host of a Georgian feast, which gets at the heart of what true hospitality is and how it serves to break down barriers and build community. In this episode, John talks with me about how the art of hospitality has become a revolutionary act. From his website, he tells us that the art of sharing time face to face is becoming something akin to countercultural, as human beings spend less and less time together. At John's feasts, called a supra, he plays the role of host or tamada and invites guests to share in this countercultural revolution simply by coming to the table. I'm your host, Stephen Roach, and this is the Makers and Mystics podcast for the art-driven seekers of truth and lovers of life. John, welcome to the Makers and Mystics podcast, my friend.
Stephen, man. So I'm new to all your good stuff, but I've been, like you said, I've been stalking you.
You know all my bad stuff?
I know your good stuff and your bad stuff. But we got put together by our common friend, Vesperin. So
yes.
What a nice thing to be able to talk to you.
I mean, whenever Vesper connects me with somebody, I know there's lots of trouble to be caused.
Yeah, what's her deal, right? So she's this creative who then, I think she gets like a thrill of matchmaking. I know I've been blessed by it. She's coming out to be our guest speaker at our gig out near Seattle at a place called Sleeping Lady Resort. I'm going to tell you about that too.
That's right. Yeah. So, and for our listeners, most everybody knows Vesper, but for any new listeners coming on, Vesper is an author, illustrator, good friend of ours. She's part of the Breath in the Clay Creative Arts Organization, and we've just been running together for years. And she said to me, "You've got to meet my friend John. He's got a podcast called Heavy Things Lightly. He does this wonderful feast called The Art of Tamada." She's like, you guys have to connect. So, man, I'm so glad we did.
Yeah, me too. And plus, I don't know, makers and mystics, I probably couldn't find two words more apt. We have trouble describing what we do. So, not really, but whenever it happens that someone says, "Hey, what do you guys do?" I've been doing it for 6 years, 7 years. I can give you the elevator speech, but our dinner now, which is a part of our work, has become something special that you got to participate in. And it's because the Georgians and the Georgian Republic have given us a gift, Stephen, that is beautiful. So,
well, let's start there then, because as I mentioned before, this season, we're talking about community and culture. And I know that both of those things are close to your heart and close to the work that you're doing. I'd love to know a bit about your background with this feast that you're hosting and just this art of hospitality that comes through everything you're doing.
Well, fundamentally, well, we're throwing a party. It's a weekend party. It's also a fundraiser. It's in Washington State. We threw one last year, which was very successful in the Keys. And we'll do it again in November in the Keys. So these events are open. And here's what happens. The best way to think of it, there's a word in Georgian, shvidoba. So there's a sense of peace. Now, this isn't like peace between the nations. That can be the way they use the word. But if you've ever been at a table with friends, and there's a moment when you're enjoying the dinner, and I want all you Americans listening to this, because you're going to know what I'm talking about. And you got one more drink, and then there's maybe I'll get dessert. But then this happens. Brrr, like an alarm goes off. I've got a lot to do. I got to go. And it's not even sure why you got to go. But it's like a natural alarm that's been built in you through your cultural upbringing, where too much time at the table is something like wasted time. It's something like indulgent, right? You got to get back to your kids. You got to get da-da-da-da-da-da. And you'll make a list for yourself. And what the Georgians say is it's actually when you're in that peaceful moment and you decide to stay that you're breaking the laws of the material world and you're entering into a spiritual existence. You're going past what you imagine to be important into the thing that actually is, which is communion. And so the communion part, don't hear that religiously. You can if you want. But communion is a revolutionary act because it's the healing of the spirit. The food is not necessary. Now, it's necessary in one way because it keeps the body moving, but that's not why you're sitting there. You're sitting there in order to commune with the other. And there's a reason that all these ancient traditions, including all the Christian traditions, they use the banquet table, the banquet feast, as an image of heaven. It's because at the table is the shvidoba, this peace that we can attain and we should stay in it. And there's a toast at the end, often at the end, where the Tamada might say, to this peace that you acquired tonight, may you take it home with you, wake up in the morning and offer it to a stranger. And this idea that this is a thing, it's like if I got a new car, I'm going to show all my friends and like, look at this thing. Well, the Georgian feast, the supra, based on these 2,000 years of the liturgical tradition there, it actually produces like a pearl about halfway into the dinner where I think I could sit here all night. Like, you really say, like, I think, what's it going to be the next toast? Where's he going to go with this? And then your neighbor is telling you, it's not a constant, don't think of it as an intellectual activity. The Tamara invites people to these toasts, but you could talk about anything you want at the dinner. We just did one for 40 people out in Seattle. And all the conversations were popping off in different ways. And then all of a sudden, the Tamara would unite them. And then the next toast would be to maybe things forlorn, to the things that are difficult. And then someone will toast. Last week, you know, my father died. And then what happens is all these human energies, they ride together suddenly. And when they all come together, it creates this peace. And what happens is people don't want to leave. And what the Georgians say is you shouldn't. Maybe you go get a cigarette or something, but you got to come back. Mm-hmm. And so what do I think? I think that's revolutionary in a culture that demands productivity. So you and I are both doing podcasts and yada, yada, and making books. And we think our value is caught up in our production. And it's a revolutionary act to say, no, F that. My value is caught up in the communing right here with my neighbors for another hour. I am revolutionizing my being. But it's hard. It's hard. We've been conditioned.
Yeah. So this supra, it can last 7 to 8 hours. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So we just did one in the Seattle area, Port Townsend, that was... We started at 6 and got finished at 1 in the morning. So, yeah, that was a 7-hour job. But here's the thing. So the Tamara is a DJ. He's like a DJ. So they can control the rhythm of the table. So we do this in public at the restaurant. It's called KP Restaurant in Greenville, South Carolina. So we opened this restaurant. The highlight of the restaurant is during the weekends, we throw these parties called the Supra, sometimes called a capy. That's the capy is without a tablecloth. The Supra is when you throw the dinner with a tablecloth. It's just sort of a formality meter, so to speak. So what happens is at the restaurant, so you'd come with your wife or whatever, and you join 18 people you don't know. And they're all about to sit down, and everyone's like, what is this? This is weird. And then the toasts start, and our tamadas explain what's going on. So you can see that it's natural for our tables at the restaurant to run out. And run out just means the tamada is noticing people are getting ready to go. And in Georgia, that usually means people are getting ready to go for the first time. Like they leave, go smoke a cigarette, they go visit a friend's family, then they come back. And the thing just keeps going and people leave at different times. But in our case, because we're doing it, we're sort of Americanizing it, we can see our table starts to run out. We start at 6 on the weekends at the restaurant, and they usually go till about 9:30. But I've had dinners there go till midnight. It depends. The tamada's job is to never leave before the last person. And as this big table of 25 starts to, as people leave, so two people will say, I got to go with my kids. Then when they leave and then their friends leave, then the table shrinks. It just keeps shrinking down toward the tamada. And eventually you'll be sitting there with four or five people, but the toast will keep going as long as people want to stay. And it's cool because by the time it's over, people know each other like crazy.
I love this so much because just hearing you describe this, it's such a countercultural act, you know? And we've been talking about this lately on Makers and Mystics, but our culture in some ways is becoming more and more disembodied.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's almost like, you know, I've even heard people say that, well, once we're fully online, we won't even need our bodies anymore. Mm-hmm. There's this move against the incarnational nature of our humanity. And I love what you're talking about, even with the concept within these feasts, is you take this high idea and then you bring it to this lowly.
That's right.
It's like, you know, it's this exchange. And I just, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation with you in this series on the podcast, is because the art of hospitality and the art of what you're hosting is such a revolutionary idea. It is such a countercultural act to sit at a table with strangers until all of the strangeness melts into a beautiful friendship, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's well said. It's gorgeous. Yeah, that's right. The strangeness is meant. There's all kinds of altruisms in Georgian culture about that. Mm-hmm. Wherever there's a stranger, they're supposed to be less strange. One of my favorite ones is they say when the enemy comes to defeat you, which is a stranger, right? When the enemy comes to defeat you, first you invite him into the Supra. And then you kill him if you have to. But first you feast. and it's likely you won't need to kill anyone after that.
Yeah.
So here's a wacky thing if you want to think about it. We're really talking about anthropology. We're really talking about anthros, man, the study of man. So what is man? And I think for 400 years, the default idea is that man is something like an evolved animal. So fine. But what makes us different from the animals? And personally, because I'm an Orthodox Christian, what's happening is the anthropology is really essential. So if I am actually something like man and God or something like earth and heaven, if I'm both and at the same time, this is freaky. If you don't believe that's what I am, that's fine. You got a different anthropology. But if that's what we are, we can feed the body to the point of death. Like literally, we can become obese in the sense that the body is fully satiated all the time, but we'll die. Because if the anthropology is right, we're God and man or something like divine and, then what are we doing about our spirit? So every tradition knows about this, every whatever religious tradition. The problem is We don't. No offense. I'm talking about, we don't take it seriously. I'm talking about my parents. I love them to death. They're wonderful. Well, they've both fallen asleep. Now they're dead. But they were beautiful Christians, Episcopalians, and then they converted to Orthodoxy. But what they were trying to figure out is the best way to live in this world. And you know what? They went to church on Sundays, but during the week, it was really important that we got good grades and went to college. All the earthen stuff took over. And like the whole week was earthen. It was just all about material reality and making sure we had what we needed and got what we needed and got ahead and everything. And then there'd be a little throwaway on Sunday. The problem is it's not enough. That's an improper diet for the human anthros, for who we are, I think. Again, I don't have all the answers, but I throw tables, man, all the time. I throw hundreds. Watch the table. It teaches you about our anthropology, about what we are. It's really interesting.
Yes. And I love this idea of bringing together cultures, because that's something that you've done from the beginning, is bringing this tradition from Georgia and now implementing it here in America, both in South Carolina, over on the West Coast. It's a really beautiful melting pot, what I see you doing. And also just the notion of bringing people together of diverse experiences, of diverse lifestyles, of diverse belief systems.
That's right.
You know, there's such a tendency for things in our modern day to become homogenized and for things to become sectioned off according to these surface level similarities, or I guess a safety within sameness. Mm-hmm. But to be able to bring cultural experiences together, diverse cultural experiences together, diverse beliefs together, and sit at a common table and find a sense of unity in diversity is such a beautiful thing.
Can I tell you a quick story from the edge? From the edge?
Please.
So this is from a table. So I was not the Tamada, but I was in the restaurant. And so our Tamada was Evan, and he was running the table. And guys, you just got to do it. It's very hard to explain. You just got to do it. And by the way, I'm inviting all your wonderful makers and mystics out there who play guitar and sing.
We'll bring the whole crew. We'll bring 500 artists will show up on your doorstep. You got enough food?
Do it. We'll feed you. We had a party on Saturday for our two-year anniversary. I'd love for you guys. We're always looking for folks to join the dinner. It's for free, and just sit down and bring a guitar, because the Georgians always have music. But, you know, Americans, they're harder to find someone that'll just play. Usually there's somebody that knows how to play at the table, but because they're not an official singer, they won't sing. That's not how it works overseas. People just sing. And even if they suck, they just sing. But anyway, I don't care about any of that. I'm looking for...
I think they do that here too.
Okay, good. Find me those people. I prefer if you could sing. But here's a story from the edge. This is fascinating because I think this is at the core of what's going on. So my buddy Evan, and he's a vet. He did two tours, one of in Afghanistan and one in Iraq. He's a Tamada. And the table has healed him in many ways. And two of his buddies are suffering on some level. They're still upset. They had a very terrible thing happen in their battalion, in their group. And he's like, "Well, come to the table. We're going to toast to the dead. We can toast to our friends." And okay, they were like, "Okay, I'll come." So they sat right next to him. Now picture a long table. The Tamada's on one end, and they're right next to him, to his left. And the table starts. They're the toast one, toast two, and it's going through. Well, at the other end are other folks that have come from other walks of life, including a group of folks who is clearly, you can tell as this night goes on, politics. You can kind of tell where people stand because you're toasting to family and you're toasting to da 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 da. And so the toast to the dead comes. And I highly recommend you watch people stand up. And by the way, while we're doing this, there's other people eating in the restaurant. It's not a private room. Like, you see all this when you're in the restaurant. And on the fifth toast, everyone stands. And in standing, what they're doing is they're honoring those who have died, who have gone before. And so there's a moment when everyone toasts to the people in their lives who have died. Well, that's why those guys are there. Everybody with me? That's why they came. They're trying to gain health after a very traumatic life serving overseas in the army. Well, before they can toast, Stephen, before this one guy in particular, who's really just pissed, can toast, down at the other end, one of the people stands up and says, "I would like a toast to the dead." And this person says, I would like to toast Jenny who died so that I could become Jim. Whoa. So, whatever. The Tamadas job is to always unite. We call it go higher. But the problem is my buddy's friend has come to toast people whose legs and arms got and heads got blown off, which is a different kind of death. I think we can all agree. I'm just saying it's a different kind of death. And he leans into my Tamada, to my buddy Evan, and says, what the? This is, you can hear him sort of in the din of the restaurant getting upset. Like, he's down there toasting that, and I got it. This isn't even death. This is not even a real death. And you can hear him triggered by this event. And the Tamada, Evan, says, whoa, slow down. And then he adds into the toast, death happens on many levels. It happens in many ways. And he's not trying to say one death is equal to another. What he's trying to do is go higher. That's an easy moment to go low and just to go right into the ideas that death's different than this death or this death's different than that death. And what we all need to do is figure out the real death. It's not a rational exploration of the idea of death. What it is an offering. So that person offered. Now, we could talk about that being death or not. That's fine. I might have different opinions than people. I don't care. But that's not what happened at the table. What happened is Evan quickly turned to his friend, the military vet, and said, Sagradzelo, Bijo. That means to you, your toast. And because it's a sudden moment of public speaking, you got to realize there's 20 people at the table. And now his friend goes from rage to like, I have a toast. And he tells the story of the death of his friends. Now, I'm going to probably cry right here. And the story of the death of his friends is overwhelming. And by the time the toasts are all finished, everybody's crying. And at the end, there's these great pictures. I'm going to get emotional. Of the whole table, of all those 20 people together taking pictures at the end, including the vet and including the guy who was transitioning. And here's what I'm telling you. I don't know who's right. I got opinions. You want to talk about it? I'm fine. But the dinner did what the Georgians say it did. It united us for a moment on the highest level, and it was gorgeous, man. Gorgeous. Now, I don't know how that fixes society, except it sure did fix a lot of things that moment. It sure did make things beautiful. And that's what we should be doing, man. We should be doing that as makers.
I love what you said. It made it beautiful, you know? And I think that is one of the connection points between the maker and the mystic. That's one of the connection points in our work and in the work that you're doing is that, you know, art reminds us of what it means to be human.
That's right.
And the art of the table, the art of hospitality, the art of these feasts that you're throwing, it reminds us of what it means to be human, and it creates something beautiful out of something very painful for a lot of people, it would seem. You know, it creates that beauty out of ashes, if you want to use that phrase for it.
But isn't that what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're aiming to do.
My daughter's a musician. She's a jazz singer. And I guess we're all artists, right? But I watch her take something and then turn it into something. And I always think, like, this is what humans do, but we aren't aware that we're meant to do this to create meaning. Like, it's not just a musician that does this, but the musicians seem to have this ability to make it front and center and very, very, very tangible. Like, it went from quiet to this thing, right? To this music. But it feels like all things are that on some level. But I just think we lose track.
Yes, I think you're right. You know, sometimes the arts like music, performance, visual art, that's where we can see it most readily. But the thread of that beautification runs through all things. And that's why I think it's appropriately titled The Art of Tamada, because that table is a bit of a performative act in some ways, you know?
That's right.
It is the making of something beautiful. I love it. Well, let me ask you one last question before we in the conversation here, but based on your work and based on what you've learned through hosting these parties, these feasts, what would you say to our culture here and specifically to the culture of artists that are running with Makers and Mystics? What can we do to begin to cultivate this art of hospitality? How can we begin to implement the art of the table, so to speak? What would you recommend to folks that want to create the beauty that you found through your work?
This is gorgeous. I love this question. So first, we need to reconcile what a proper guest is and what a proper host is. This comes right out of the tradition. So if let me put it like this. When you're a host, it's typically understood in America that the host is trying to give the guests whatever they want. And the Georgians and in the East, this would not be understood properly. A proper host is to give the finest things that they have to the guest. So if you go to a Georgian home, they're not really trying to figure out if you want vodka or not. They're not trying to figure out if you want a comfortable chair or if you want to watch the ball game. What they're trying to figure out is how to put you in a situation where they can give you the best of what they have. And your job as a guest is to accept it. Your job as a guest is not to say, I'm gluten-free, and I really got to go by 9, and thanks for inviting me. Just, you're not, a guest does not come with preconceptions about how the night should go. They expect the finest, though. So there's an expectation of the guest that the host will provide the finest. Now, if you go to one of our places in Mozambique, the finest then would be a nice, beautiful, right? A little meal of to in a mud hut, and it would be delicious, and it would be their finest. The question is, what is the finest? And the goal of the host is to provide their finest, not the finest that they think the guest would like. So this is different. This is different than America. And what I find is when the expectations of guest and host are properly ordered, then what you get is a beauty that's different than what we are consumers by definition. We think that our day is about acquiring the things that will make us happy. But a proper guest is not trying to acquire. What they're trying to do is give themselves to their host. And that's why you always see in Georgian culture, the tamada has to be given the control. So at my American tables, it's really interesting. When I'm in Georgia, the tamada is like seriously gets cred, okay? If the tamada says something like, go give me 2 bottles of wine, everyone goes and gets 2 bottles of wine. In America, they challenge the tamada. Ah, not about this again. Or they'll be like, could I do a toast that's different? You'll hear that. Could I do a toast that's different instead of your toast? Because there's a democratic spirit, which is the idea that I'm going to do what I want to do. You can do what you want to do. We're all going to share. That is not how it looks. And we've lost a little bit of this ability to say, as a host, I'm going to give you my finest things. And as a guest, saying, I'm going to take whatever you offer. And I think if we can get into that mindset, it changes the way we meet others and what our expectations are for the other. Guest and host, you know, we have to think about these things. We're not individuals. None of you have your own skin, okay? Even your own skin was given to you, no offense. You're not an individual. It's a bit of a lie in history. Now I'm really in trouble.
I was going to say, that sounds like the beginning of a whole new conversation, my friend. We'll have that one on your podcast.
Okay, good. When you come on my podcast, we'll have that. Because you're both. You know, you're inexplicably, right, mystically both. But anyway, okay, when you come on, we'll do that, okay?
That's right. John, thank you so much for joining me today on Makers and Mystics. Man, this is one of my favorite conversations we've had this season. I can't wait to go back and meditate on what this means and how I can implement this into my own life and how I can get to one of these feasts that you're throwing. You know, Greenville's not too far away from me, so we need to make some trouble happen in person.
I would love that. That's not a lie. I want to see you, bro.
Yes. Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for listening. This episode was produced by me, Stephen Roach, with music by Somewhere at Sea. If you'd like to go deeper in these conversations or simply help us continue our work of advocating for the arts, please visit patreon.com/makersandmystics or see the show notes of this episode. We'll see you again next week, and until then, keep creating. The world needs your art.